Hey, welcome to episode 297 of That Larry Show. I am Larry. And when I first moved to LA, I briefly dated a woman who was a school teacher. One day I happened to look at her students' test papers. I was astonished by what I saw. There was a matching puzzle. On one side of the page, there was a drawing of a kid, maybe a 7 or 8 year old kid, and on the opposite side was a jumble of garments. A hat, a shoe, a glove, a scarf, a belt, and so on. And the puzzle could be solved by drawing a line from the article of clothing to the location on the kid's body that it fit. She taught second grade. Looking at this puzzle, I asked her if it was a special ed class. She said it was not, and what gave you that idea? So I pointed to the puzzle. She still didn't understand, and I asked her if by age 7, most kids hadn't a pretty good idea where to put a hat or a shoe. Well, she got pissed off, told me that they were children, and that they all couldn't be as brilliant as I was. I said, hey, this isn't about me. It's about your school. By the time my classmates and I left second grade, we could all read and write in block letters and cursive, as well as add, subtract, multiply, and divide. We had a rudimentary knowledge of geography. We could point out the continents on a globe. We knew there were 50 states and that Columbus discovered America and Washington was the first president. Stuff like that. Well, she glared at me. Clearly, I had pushed some button. It wasn't an indictment of her teaching, but the curriculum was shortchanging those kids. They had a right to be educated at a level commensurate with normal intelligence. They were being dumbed down by the school system. And she was good with that. And I wasn't. That was our last date. To think that her students, and millions more like them, are now voting. Ooh, that's a scary thought. Which may explain how California has some of the most stupid and incompetent leadership in the country. Beginning with the governor, who's about to be recalled, and the mayor, who is the living embodiment of the term, empty suit. America has been so dumbed down, it's staggering. It's as if the intellectual bar has been set by Barney.
Here we go!
That overstuffed purple dinosaur that was created and scripted for children from age 2 to 7. We now literally live in Barneyland. Entertainment, political discourse, school curriculum, everything is at the Barney level. How the fuck did this happen?
You're killing me, Larry!
Hello, Larry!
Hats off to Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry!
Larry!
Larry! Larry, get into bed now!
Come on, Larry! Larry! Larry!
A few episodes back, it was number 294, Death by Safety. I mentioned how JFK, once hailed as an American hero, has taken a tumble in stature. Segments of society no longer find him so admirable. They say he manifested toxic masculinity. Ooh. There may be another reason JFK has fallen out of favor, one that I overlooked. The drones and smooth brains find his intellect intimidating. Since those mouth-breathing clods are also invariably rah-rah big government statists, they don't like the fact that JFK issued a terrifying warning about big government, specifically the deep state, This is what he said.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
And that clip is part of a longer speech he gave at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in 1961. He was addressing the press corps. I'll post a link to it at the show page at thatlarryshow.com. You can read it in its entirety. In reading that speech, I realized that were it delivered today, the press corps would have no idea what he was talking about. It was nuanced. It had irony and subtle sarcasm. It was brilliant, a speech written to be heard by intelligent, educated, sophisticated adults. Today in Barneyland, this speech would get crickets. In fact, few might even hear it. Most of those journos, as they call themselves, well, they'd probably be in their devices taking selfies and playing Candy Crush. The statists are invariably really dumb people. They believe everything their government and the media tells them, from nuclear radiation is safe, to Oswald acted alone, to weapons of mass destruction, to take off your shoes before you fly, to 2 weeks to flatten a curve, to you don't need a mask, wear two masks, take this vaccine that's really an experimental drug we're calling a vaccine that actually edits your genetic material, and on it goes. The United States government has been a lie factory for at least a century. No wonder their school system produces dullards. It's in their best interest, isn't it? America now operates and communicates at the Barney level. Facts and concepts, well, those have taken a back seat to feelings. Facts and concepts take some brain power and effort to ingest and sort and evaluate. First, one has to pay attention. Then, you must have sufficient vocabulary and a knowledge base to understand facts and concepts. But feelings, well, plenty of other life forms have feelings. Moose, official guard dog of the Take No Shit Dojo, who, by the way, just celebrated his 5th birthday, and thanks again to all the wonderful folks who gushed over his handsome visage on social media. Moose has an extensive range of emotions. He can articulate anger, sorrow, contentment, affection, anxiety, loneliness, and even gratitude. Moose also has a vocabulary in excess of 50 words. That's a lot more than most of the on-air talent at CNN. But most communication is no longer fact-based, it's feeling-based, and even a dog or a preschooler can process that. Now, communication has been compacted into tweets and posts. Largely pictorial, huh? Instagram? Words are becoming superfluous. Looking at a picture is as effortless as listening to music or smelling a fragrance. The most basic forms of communication, huh? Senses, feelings. And as communication continues to devolve How long will it be until somebody comes up with an olfactory phone app? Instead of having to look at a clock, the two-legged sheep and cattle, they'll know it's dinner time by the scent their iPhone is producing. They'll be able to fine-tune it so the herd will know which trough to feed at. Taco Bell or McDonald's? Since it looks like real restaurants, the ones that serve food, not robot shit, those might be a thing of the past. But what's the root cause of the dumbing down of America? Part of it is the media, of course. The term dumbing down was coined in early Hollywood when studio heads were afraid that scripts were too subtle or too nuanced or too smart for the masses, so screenwriters were ordered to dumb it down. The school system is mostly to blame. It's a crude and corrupt machine configured to mass-produce mediocrity. Push kids through the factory like a meatpacking plant crapping out sausage links. Are mass-produced things ever extraordinary, outstanding, or marvelous? No, but they sure are equal, aren't they? Yes, they are. Econobox cars and plastic watches and IKEA end tables and two-buck chuck. The sameness and equality. Well, it's just amazing. The root of feelings over facts is infantilization and the narcissism that goes hand in hand with it. I flashed on this from a source I never dreamed I would quote. Fran Lebowitz, yeah. She's the subject of a multi-part series by, of all people, Martin Scorsese. I don't know that much about Lebowitz other than that she's a writer and was part of the New York glitterati in the 70s and 80s, you know, the Warhol crowd. But she said something that I found fascinating because it exposed the roots of American infantilization, narcissism, and their ultimate byproducts, a dumb society. Listen to Lebowitz.
The second I learned how to read, it was like unbelievable to me. My world became a billion times bigger, you know. That used to be the point of reading, in a way. You know, now it's not. Now people are always saying, you know, there's no books about people like me. I don't see myself in the book. And I always think, like, did you see yourself in this book? And I always think, a book is supposed to be a mirror. It's supposed to be a door. Mm-hmm. I feel. It never occurred to me I would see myself in a book. Frankly, I never even thought about it.
How about that? Few people read books anymore, and when they do, they want books that are about themselves, or some facsimile of themselves, or their identity group, whatever that may be. They want a mirror, not a door. Pretty smart observation by Lebowitz. As a kid, my favorite book was The Seawolf by Jack London. It's set in the 19th century in the Pacific on a sailing ship. It was as far from my realm in Queens, New York, in the 20th century as any material could be. Why would I want to read a book about me? I already knew all about me and my drab experiences when compared to a fantastic seafaring adventure. I did not want a literary mirror. I wanted a door, a really big door. But vast swaths of our populace are concerned with nothing but themselves. Social media confirms this. Social media really should be called me media. Huh? Billions of users and trillions of posts. And what are 99.999% of them about? The ubiquitous, all-important me. Everybody does mostly think about themselves, but round about what was known as the Age of Reason, 7 or so, kids used to be encouraged to maybe do a little less navel-gazing, as Frank Zappa was fond of saying, and maybe pay a little more attention to the world at large. And then by adulthood, raising a family should, in theory, curtail the me focus and redirect attention to them, them being the kids. And when that happens, kids tend to turn out okay. When it doesn't, and mommy and daddy insist on retaining the me focus, my drugs, my booze, my toys, my fuckery, well then, the kids get as shortchanged at home as they do at school. And the societal shit show continues. I was considering calling this episode Bring Back the Bomb. Nukes still exist, but in Barneyland, we tend not to hear much about them anymore, huh? There may actually be more of them scattered around the globe now than ever before. And now they're in the hands of just about everybody. America, Russia, China, France, England, India, Pakistan, Israel, North Korea, and any day now, Iran. Just as Gordon Gekko famously said, greed is good. I believe nukes are good, especially when tensions are high and the world is on edge. During the hot years of the Cold War, people were shitting their pants over nuclear annihilation. Schools ran duck and cover drills. Families had bomb shelters buried in their backyards. Everywhere you looked were those creepy yellow signs saying, Fallout Shelter. Anxiety was the norm, and back then, the Ruskies and us were the only players in the game. Now, with five times as many nations, that's five times the likelihood that somebody's gonna piss somebody off, and then, kaboom. Armageddon is more likely now than ever, but all anybody cares about is how many masks to wear to ward off a germ with a 99% survival rate. What's the survival rate for a nuking? A hell of a lot lower than for the Wuhan flu. All we have to go on is Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and those cities would have gladly traded the virus for Harry Truman, Fat Man, and Little Boy. The good side of the bomb was it gave the masses something more to concern themselves with than posting pictures of their dicks or their manicures or polling followers as to which shade of gloss looks best on their lips. Or trying to figure out what they should be offended about next. Can you imagine anything more offensive than a flock of ICBMs whistling toward your hometown? I can't. Maybe the Russians or the Chi-Coms have nicknames chalked onto their nukes, just like we did. We probably don't allow that anymore, as the uniform politician dipshits that run the military would declare that writing funny names on weapons of mass destruction would be too disrespectful to the targets we are annihilating. Maybe the Chi-Coms got a missile pointed at L.A. that's painted purple and named Barney. Wouldn't that be fucking cool? And another bomb named Fauci with two face masks glued to the nose of it. They could launch Barney and strap a GoPro to it so we could all live stream its trajectory from some silo in Mongolia. Or maybe it'll shoot out of a sub off Santa Barbara. Maybe, when the Barney nuke gets within a few minutes of LA, they'll use the Barney song as a soundtrack for the live stream.
I love you, you love me, we're
Susomo. Sight, sound, motion, and then... oblivion. Now that would be a great reset, wouldn't it? Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com, where you'll find hundreds of other episodes, fantastic images, comment, and commentary. While there, click a subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you heard, click the Patreon button and help support my never-ending fight against phonies, commies, and the bullshit they spread. Donations are also gratefully accepted through PayPal and via snail mail. When you support the show, you become a member of the Take No Shit Dojo, a wonderful place where you'll enjoy the fellowship of others who know what time it is. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and a social network I'm liking a lot. It's called Mastodon. The address is @thatlarryshow@noagendasocial.com, but that's a lot to remember. So just click the link at my homepage and you'll find it. Mastodon has way fewer commies and creeps. You'll like it there. Oh, and you can write to me anytime at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next Wednesday. And until that time, take no shit.